Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday, every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. For those of you that called in, that's listening by internet, you can call in 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054, and you can be connected. And you can be a part of this interactive Bible study. This evening, we have Apostle Scott. Pastor Scott is from Warren, Ohio. He is an author of several books, and we're going to be blessed to have him on. He's going to share one of his books and what God has placed on his heart this evening. We're going to have a prayer. We're going to open up the mics to Apostle Scott. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. I'm just anxious to hear what God has laid on his heart this evening. He is a mighty man of God. He travels around planting churches in various cities and states, and especially in the South, as well as producing his book. So we're going to have an opportunity to hear from him in a minute. We're going to have a prayer, and again, we're going to turn it on over to Pastor Scott. Father God, we come before you knowing that you are calling us to a new beginning, to a fresh call of discipleship. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have allowed us to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow you. It is at our baptism, Father, that you claimed us as your child, and we believe that we have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer that I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Father, we surrender our will, our desire, and our life to you. Oh God, we commit your call to discipleship, to pray frequently, to study your word diligently, to worship you regularly, invite other people to a life of discipleship. Father God, we thank you for knowing that we are a Christian family of life and faith, and we are here to serve those in need and to give joyfully the gifts that you first gave us. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. We're going to move on over into Warren, Ohio. Pastor Scott, are you there?
Well, praise the Lord, and God bless those who are listening tonight. We're excited about the Lord. Happy New Year to all.
Amen. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. We're turning the mic on over to you. And we're just going to, I'm going to get on out of the way and let God work through you. Amen.
Amen. Well, we're excited about tonight, and we are just coming into the new beginning of a fresh new year. I know that the Jewish calendar, we've already entered in the year 5777, and the Lord strategically told me that this would be a year of not only rest, but it would be a year of jackpot. It would be a year of God's outpouring of blessings, and we would move into the 30, 60, and 100-fold blessing for his people. And so we were back in October in Florida, Georgia, and Alabama. We had just released our fifth book, No Need for an Autopsy, Live. And that book is fresh off the press. I have not done a lot of promotional work on it because we're still in the process of getting some things together with the website and all that. But it's going to be available for those who are listening. If you are interested in getting that book, at the end of the program, we'll make sure that you'll have the mailing address. So get a pen, get a piece of paper so that you'll be able to get your fresh copy of No Need for an Autopsy, Live. And this book is birthed out of a sequel that we had. The last book was called God Brings Dead Things to Life, Spiritually, Physically, and Financially. And the third book was The Church on Life Support. And our second book was Time to Change Your Oil. And our first book, Anointed to Say No. So we have authored five books and working on our sixth book to release sometime here this summer, this fall. And we're excited about the Lord. We're excited about the topic tonight, No Need for an Autopsy. The Word of God comes out of John 10:10. Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and to destroy, but I have come that they may have life, and that life much more abundantly." So we look at this this topic tonight, and there's 12 chapters that I believe that we put into the book. So we're going to try to give you a synopsis of 13 chapters. I'm going to give you a synopsis of each chapter to what it's really speaking volume to the body of Christ. And we just want people to be blessed as they listen in. For those who are out there listening, I pray that you are experiencing life. I know that there is a lot of stuff going on around us, but God's plan for humanity from the beginning was to give Adam and Eve life from the tree of life. But again, you know, because of the adversary, he wants us to always operate out of what we call the tree of good and evil. And so we spend a lot of our time, even in the body of Christ, of studying man instead of studying God and hearing his voice. A lot of times we can become judgmental and we can have a spirit of condemnation. But Jesus, from the beginning, made Adam in his image and in his likeness. And he saw that it was not good for Adam to be alone, so he made him a helpmeet from Adam's rib. And so we know that in the beginning, God created Adam in his likeness and in his image. Also, in Genesis 1 and 1, God said, in the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth. So when you look at Adam, Adam is created from the dust. He's created from the earth. But there is something that is hidden in the first Adam that is revealed in the second Adam, and that's the image. So let us pray. Father, I pray that revelation will be stirred up tonight, that your people will get a spiritual insight of what is being spoken, what is being revealed, even the mystery of the kingdom tonight. Father, I believe that Elder John and Elder Suzanne are birthing out, Lord God, the new beginning for the people of God to know that we can start again. We can, Lord God, have that new beginning that you ordained through Jesus Christ. And we know, Lord God, that it is not in the first Adam, but the second Adam, that life has been restored. It is through the Garden of Gethsemane that the anointing destroys every yoke and it lifts every burden. So, Father, as we go into this book, I pray that revelation will come forward like never before in this year, 2017. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Now, the first chapter, as I just give you a brief synopsis of the first Adam in the image and likeness. When you look at the image and likeness of Adam, the likeness was from the earth. The likeness from the earth. When you see that word likeness, you see that word ness at the end of it. Likeness. Likeness. That's darkness. We were starting out from the beginning as God created the heavens and the earth. And when he made man on the sixth day. And the Bible says on the seventh day, he rested. So man and beast was created on the same day. The animalistic part of man is also a revealed part of how through humanity all the animals are created. And Adam, he names all the animals. So when you think about the darkness, all that was on the face of the earth, he divided the light from darkness. Now, we know that Adam, because of sin, darkness and sin began to grow. And through Adam, it came to Noah. And through Noah, it came to Abraham. And through Abraham, it came through Moses. The four major Old Testament covenants, Adam, Noah, Abraham, and Moses. And so darkness began to expand from Adam up until, again, Moses. The people of God, they would not hearken unto the prophet. They would not hearken unto the voice of God. And they kept on turning back into the dark things. In fact, Cain slew his own brother. That was darkness. That's how, again, we begin to see the experience of murder, autopsies, things that have now continued even in our generation, whereby they have to examine the body to determine the cause of death. This was never God's intention for humanity to ever have to deal with death. But because of one man's sin, all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. But because of one man's righteousness, Jesus the Christ, the image of God, has now been restored back to humanity so that there is no need for an autopsy. Jesus has come for us to live and live that life much more abundantly. So we have what we call the eternal life, and we have what we call everlasting life. We are eternally endowed in this conversation tonight over the phone. We are endowed with eternal life now. When we leave this body, we go into what we call everlasting life. That means we live as it was in the beginning in creation. We were supposed to live forever with God. So there is two points that I want to deal with tonight. The first chapter of this book deals with what I call humanity and divinity. The humanity part, the body of Adam was the humanity part. Adam was made image and likeness, but he was a man. He was a man in the image and likeness of God, but the likeness was revealed more than the image because God's intention was to reveal the image of God throughout Adam and Eve's life. But because of darkness coming into the earth, because of Satan and sin, man began to have to wander outside of the tree of life. So he wandered out of the tree of life. The gate was closed. The sword was put at the flaming, sword was put at the door of the gate of the Garden of Eden, and no longer did Adam have access. Him and Eve had no more access to the Garden of Eden. And so now they are in this world. Darkness is now taking place. Cain slays his own brother, Abel. And so now sin has come, and man begins to get deeper and deeper and deeper into darkness. He had the likeness. He was the likeness of the darkness. That's the first covenant that God brings into existence, is Adam and then Noah. Look what Noah did. Noah being saved, him and his family. Noah begins to partake of the wine, the same thing that he birthed out through the tree. He began to be a partaker of the same thing that caused his sin nature to get drunk, and then his son looks on his father's neck and his ham, and then there's a curse that comes on his grandson. And so then you lose that part and you go into what we call Abraham. Abraham, though he was the father of faith, Abraham has some issues because, like all of us, God tells us instructions, and yet we do not do what God told us to do. So Abraham doubted God. Instead of him waiting on the promise, he goes ahead of God and bursts out Ishmael. And knowing this one thing, now there's a division between Isaac and Ishmael, because Isaac was going to be the son of the promise that God had promised. And so darkness again continues to go throughout the generation of Abraham. And so it is still today. Darkness is still going throughout the nations in Iraq and Iran and Afghanistan and Syria and all throughout the Middle East. There's darkness. There's wars between brothers and sisters. And so darkness, darkness, darkness. And so when you look at the humanity side is the human nature of man. And so there is something that we have to leave from that first estate of what we call the likeness to get over into the image. And that's where Jesus shows up, and he brings forth what we call the divine side. Jesus is born both human out of a woman, and he has a divine side because he's born of the Father. And so because he's born of the Father, the divine side of him, it is not revealed because man has been so used to the likeness. Anything that is unfamiliar, anything that is a revelation, man sometimes have a problem with it because he's not used to the revelation. We are living in the book of Revelation, and there has been stories, even when I was a young boy, the preacher would tell the people, don't open up the book of Revelation. That's the devil's book. Well, how can it be the devil's book when the word of God is inspired by God? So there has been false teaching, false doctrine. There have been people who have died prematurely. There have been people who have been murdered and people who have been victimized by what we call darkness. And so this book is trying to transform people to get over into what Jesus says, that we must be born again. That's the message of the gospel. That's the message of the kingdom. We must be born again. That's the salvation message that is still speaking volumes throughout the world. His hands are still stretched out for a disobedient and a gainsaying people who refuse to leave the likeness to bear the image of who God is through creation. And so when we look at that human and divine side, it's so important that we begin to see the divinity of who made man in his image and his likeness. That's God. God made man. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are the sheep of his pasture. We enter into his gates with thanksgiving. We enter into his courts with praise. That's why the church is set to bring man into a knowledge of who God is. So many churches are not emphasizing the knowledge of God. We have good programs. We have good praise and worship. We have all these things. We have even good baking committees and pie committees and barbecue committees. But when it's all said and done, Jesus used the word. It is written, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word. And so the emphasis of discipleship, I heard that word discipleship. We need to become more disciples. Jesus did not go into this world and say, go make members. He said, go make disciples of all men, of all nations. I think we dropped the ball. Just like New Year's, you know, we dropped the ball to bring a new year in. I think the church has dropped the ball. That was my wife's prophetic word for this year, that we cannot drop the ball any longer in the body of Christ. We need to be about our Father's business. We need to be about bringing forth 30, 60, and 100 fold. And how can you do these things? So we're going to deal with chapter 2, and that's dealing with the eye gate. The prophet is known in the Old Testament as a seer. How can we not see all the things that are going on in this nation? Chicago, 762 murders in 2016. All this drug activity, all the things that are going on in our nation and around the world. How can we as the people of God have eyes to see and don't see? So what we have to do, we have to open up that eye gate. That eye gate is so important because once we begin to see from the divine side, what we'll do, we'll get rid of the condemnation. And we'll have revelation. We'll begin to reveal and speak to those dry bones that they might live. And that's the message not only of Ezekiel, but that's the message of Jesus who healed the blind man, who cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon him. Here's a man that is blind, but he can understand that there is somebody coming by that has a revelation of divinity, not based upon humanity, not based upon what people are saying about him being blind. But there is something divine about Jesus that reaches out to a man that is blind, puts spittle from the ground, clay, puts it over his eyes, and immediately the man, his eyes are opened. And I think this is sometimes what we got to catch the revelation of, because Jesus takes that which is from the dirt, clay, puts it over the man's eyes so that he might see. And that's the revelation of what we're saying tonight. We have to move from the likeness to the image. We are called to be image bearers. We're not called to be likeness, like darkness. We're called to be the light of the world, a city that sits upon a hill that cannot be hidden. And it's high time for the church of Jesus Christ to arise and shine, for our light has come. That was prophesied by the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah is kind of interesting because of the prophet. There are 66 books in Isaiah, and there are 66 books of the Bible. Isaiah is the prophetic eye, the eagle-eyed prophet, who sees not only from the past, but sees the future of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, being born. And that's the same revelation that we must look at from the humanity side to the divine side. We have to look beyond the humanity, and we got to look into the divinity of who God made us to be in his image and his likeness. I believe when this message of the kingdom begins to evolve again and begins to resonate into the ears and eyes of the believers, we'll stop looking at each other from hate and from what the enemy has tried to do to Adam and Eve. Because remember this, Adam and Eve was not made in the image of Satan. I don't know where that lie came from. Adam and Eve was made from the image and likeness of God. And so what we have done is we have taken on the demonic nature, the drag-on nature, dragon, the drag-on nature. and we're dragging on every year. We come up with new resolutions and new revelation, but we keep on dragging right back onto the same thing that the children of God did from the beginning. They kept going into darker and darker and darker, to the period where there was 400 to 500 years of complete darkness from Malachi to Matthew. And Jesus, now the star that is born from the east, the wise men ran looking for that star, looking for that light. So that's a revelation now. A new heaven was created. A new earth was created. When Jesus was born, a new heaven and new earth was created. The new Jerusalem came down from the Father. So he took them out of the obstacles of going to Jerusalem every year. Three times the men would have to present themselves. I haven't been to Jerusalem one time, but I know who Jesus Christ is. I don't have to go to a location to know who he is, because when he came, he didn't come from a geographical location. He didn't come from a map. He came from heaven above. And when he came to enter into our hearts, that we might be the image bearers of who he called from the firstborn and to the secondborn, the one that is now born in the image of who his Father created him to be, the Savior of the world. And so that divine side, that eye gate, which is the second chapter, is so important that we must understand that we have eyes to see, and we must begin to see prophetically the divinity in what God created in humanity. There's something good about all man that has to be brought out. There is an investment that is in need of this nation. We have to begin to invest in our people. We got to invest in the body of Christ. We got to invest in the things that pertain to God's children, because we're spending all this stuff on material things, and this stuff is going to pass away. I believe when we can take and mentor and invest in young men and give them a revelation, not about condemnation, not about how bad they are and what they're doing in this generation, but give them a revelation of who they need to become in Christ. That is the message of the kingdom. That's the message of the gospel. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. It's something that we need to see, that God is shifting nations because he wants all nations to be saved. And so that next level of chapter 3 deals with the ear gate. The ear gate is what we hear from. We have ears to hear, but are we really hearing what the Spirit is saying to the church? And so this ear gate, it has to become a soundness. And I believe sometimes, you know, when you hear people talk about tornadoes, they say it sounded like a train. Well, maybe this is what God is saying, that we ought to be training up the people in the way that they should go. Not training up the children, but training up these adults, that we should stop acting like children. We should move from the elementary teaching. We should move from that immature status that we're still here fighting over denominationalism. We're still fighting upon who's the greatest in the kingdom, who has the biggest ministry. We're still arguing over trivial things that deals with humanity, and we don't have that which has now become first divinity. And we need to go back to giving people who have an ear the message of the gospel, that they might hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. We need to get back to preaching the word of God. We need to get back teaching the word of God, because so many people are being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. In Romans 1:28, it says that when they knew God, they didn't retain God in their knowledge. And when they did not retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. I believe this is what's going on in the body of Christ now. We are not retaining the knowledge of the kingdom. We're not retaining the knowledge of the gospel. And we're using our minds for materialistic stuff. We're not investing into souls. I mean, people are not in revivals like they used to be. I believe that there's a great outpouring that God is calling the body of Christ to in 2017. I believe he's calling us to rest. Just like God created the heavens and the earth, and in 6 days he created all things, man included. But the Bible says on the seventh day, I believe that number 1-7, I believe God is one. I believe that number 7, I believe God is telling his sons and daughters, it is a time to rest in him now. It is time to hear his voice. It is time to see what he wants to do in the kingdom. and in the earth. And I believe that this is that season where we're going to see 30, 60, and 100-fold return back to the things that God has explained, not only through the biblical application, but what he's explaining even tonight through the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers who are sent and who are qualified for the work of the ministry, for the work of the ministry, and for the edification of Jesus Christ. So I believe that's what the fivefold gift is for. He gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. I believe that there is a perfecting coming. I believe there's a cutting edge. There's some things being cut away from the body of Christ. And it's high time for us to be able to let God cut us and also let God heal us, because I believe that this is a season where we are going into a new government. And just like it is in the natural, I believe that there's a governmental change that is taking place in the spirit realm. I believe God is raising up men of standard, women of standard, like yourselves, the Clays, New Beginning. I believe God is raising up couples that love the Lord, that we're not going to see that spirit of immorality that has been running rampant in the body of Christ. And people are spending more time in things of the flesh or the likeness more than the things of the spirit, the divinity part. I believe that we should be just like Jesus, who was sitting there at 12 saying, "I must be about my Father's business." And when Mary and Joseph came back, he was sitting in the same place asking questions and listening. It is so important for us not to have just an hour of power gospel in 2017. 15 minutes of message, 15 minutes of announcements, 15 minutes of what we call raising the offering, and 15 minutes on what we're going to do next week. I believe that it's high time the church gets out of this examination of the body, and I believe that we begin to live like God has called us to live. That's why this book, No Need for an Autopsy, is so important for those who are hearing. It is so important for us to understand the divinity part of God and not just the humanity part of God. It is so important for us to know that. The fourth chapter deals with the mouth and the tongue gate. What we are speaking out of our mouth, what we are saying out of our mouth. Isaiah 50, verse 4, it talks about having the tongue of the learned and the ear of the learned, being able to give a word in season to those who are weary. That's in part Isaiah 50, verse 4. It is important for us to speak as the oracle of God. It's important for us to hear as the vessels of God. We need to hear, and we also need to be speaking the same thing. On the day of Pentecost, they were in one room. They were all on one accord, and they began to speak the same thing. The heavenly languages, all men from different kindreds and nations and tongues, they began to say the power of demonstration that Jesus Christ had brought them down on the 50th day for them to be empowered. I believe that there is a wind that is blowing across nations, that we are in a clarion call in this hour. We are in a call to come back to the kingdom of God. I believe that this is what God is saying, and he's speaking volumes not only through the wind, but the rain, and all the things that are happening around nations. I believe that there is a shaking that is going place in nations, and I believe that there is a stirring of the Spirit, that God is calling his people back to divinity. It's calling us back to not just studying the word, but speaking the word. So that mouth gate and that tongue gate is so important for the divine part of his sons and daughters, to speak as the oracle and to have the word in season for those who are weary. Jesus was a prime example. What took a man 38 years to get healed from, Jesus did in 5 seconds. He didn't baby the man. I'm talking about the man that sat at the pool of Bethesda. He didn't baby the man. He told the man to take up your bed and walk. Jesus didn't spend a lot of time. He didn't say, "Well, how long have you been in church? You know, why is this condition?" Jesus spoke to the condition of that man, and immediately that man got up, and he walked. Same thing with the woman with the issue of blood. 12 years, she went to every doctor. She tried to figure out what was going on. She had pronounced her dead, probably. They was getting ready to do an autopsy on her. But Jesus spoke life to that woman. And when he spoke life to that woman, immediately she got up, and he said, "Your faith has made you whole." And that's the kind of message that we need to be speaking to people. We need to be endowing people with the power from on high. It's time out for this pity-patty party that the church has been experiencing. It's time out for the high chair ministry. It is time for the people of God to know the word of God from the pulpit to the pew. It is time for us to demonstrate the word of God in the earth, because we are being challenged on every hand by the Antichrist spirits and those who don't want to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So there is a remnant that God is raising up in this hour, I believe, that is going to speak truth to life, because we don't need no autopsy. We need to live now. And so the fifth chapter is the nose gate. Remember, God breathed into Adam's nostrils, and he became a living soul. It's interesting at death that when you look at the casket, there is a body inside, but the breath is gone. And so when you look at what he did in creation, he breathed into Adam's nostrils. He became a living soul. At death, it's the same way. The breath goes out, but the body remains, and it goes back to the dirt from which it came. And so it is the image that has determined that individual on whether they use all the breath that they had to glorify God in the earth once they got into the divinity part, because he says, let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. I believe this is the same clarion call that once we get into the breath of God, as Adam had the breath of God, but it was used in a wrong way because of sin. And sin entered into the world because of one man's sin. Sin entered into the world. But because of one man's righteousness, we have now the right to enter back into the tree of life. That's the Garden of Gethsemane. That's where Jesus gave up his will and said, no longer my will, but let your will be done. I think that's the clarion call. No longer the church's will, but let the will of God be done. Because God is the head of the church. Amen. He's the head of Christ. And Christ is the head of every man, and the head of every man is the woman. I believe that we need to come back in divine order when it comes down to our relationships. We need to go back to the first oracles of what God called us to, and that is to be obedient to the will of God concerning his people. The next chapter is the hands and the arms. By a strong hand, God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, the hand of Moses. He has given us the fivefold ministry, the hand of God, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, for the perfecting of the saints. So we need the hand of God. We need the hand of God on us. We need his arms. We need to be able to lift people up. As Peter and John going to the temple in the hour of prayer, the man had been lame from his mother's womb, and yet they stretched out their hand and got the man up from off of his stability of being, just looked over with money, throwing money at him. But nobody had the power to pick that man up and get him back on his feet. But Peter and John, going into the temple, they used what they had. Silver and gold we don't have, but such as we have in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And immediately that man got up, went into the temple, leaping and dancing and shouting and having a good time, because those people were just looking at him from his disability. We have to stop looking at people from their disability and use the demonstration to raise people up from their disability. I believe that God is going to raise up some people in this year, that people are going to come off crutches and come out of wheelchairs. I believe that there are those who are blind who are going to begin to see, and those who are deaf who are going to begin to hear. I believe that once the divinity part is stirred up in the body of Christ, and we get out of the humanity part or the likeness part and get into the image part, we will do what Jesus said we would do. Greater works than these you shall do, because I'm going back to my Father. The next chapter is the heart. We have to have the heart of God. It is so important. David, though he was a sinner, he broke just about every law he did concerning the Ten Commandments. If you look at it, David was a murderer. He bare false witness. He killed a man, but yet God called David a man after his own heart. You know why God called him a man after his own heart? Because David repented. You don't find David going back doing the same things over and over and over again. David had a heart to repent. If you do wrong, repent. That's all God asks us to do, and to turn from what we've been doing. We don't need to just use the repentance every Sunday. Lord, I did this, I did that, and come back next Sunday, I did this, I did that. And so you continue to stay in that examination. Everybody's seeing what you're doing. We got our eyes on what Sister Sally's doing, what Brother Mark is doing, what Brother Joe is doing, and we are taking our eyes off of what Jesus called us to do. He called us to love one another, to have the heart of God, to forgive one another, and to live the light that he called us to live. We are not in a condemnation ministry. We are in a revelation ministry. And the church needs to get into the revelation that Jesus is revealing for us to come back to, because he's coming again, but he wants all to be saved, none to perish. And so this is the message of the heart, and there's more into that, but I know the time is running out. So I want to make sure that I get all these in. The next level is the belly and the bowels. John 7:38, as the scripture says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And so he also tells us, Paul told the Colossians, to have the bowels of compassion. We need compassion back into the house of God. We need to be compassionate. We need to have, amen, our belly full of the water of God. We need that word, as I said about Isaiah 50, verse 4, that word coming out of our bellies, flowing like rivers of living water. And so now chapter 9, it talks about the knees. We need to go back to prayer. We have some people, they used to meet God at 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. They would spend an hour in prayer. Now you got people who don't even spend 4 minutes in prayer, 5 minutes in prayer. We need to get back on our knees. We need to get back to praying to God. And I'm talking about bowing down to Jesus. I'm not talking about bowing down to no man, but bowing down to the Most High God, because thou shalt have no other gods before him. And so we need to get back to no need for an autopsy, live. And it's important for us, as Mark 11:24 says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you shall receive them and you shall have them. I'm not just negating that you have to be on your knees praying. You can be praying anywhere. In your car, you can be praying. But it's important for us to know to bow down to no other God but the God who created the heavens and the earth. That's the message of the gospel, and that's the message of the prophets. That's the message of the apostles, that we need to make sure that if any man can bow down to Jesus, he can stand up to any man. I believe that. Amen. Now, the next chapter is chapter 10, and that's the feet. How good are the preparation of those who preach the God, the good tidings of Jesus Christ? You know, one thing about the feet, you know, in Genesis, he says that the seed of the woman shall bruise his head, and the seed of the serpent shall bruise his heel. And I believe that this is the problem that we have. Satan, the adversary, the serpent, he's going around trying to bite people in their feet. And when he bites you in your feet, it goes up to your bloodstream. It gets in your mind. So now you've been bitten by the snake. And so you can't do the will of God, because the devil got people's minds now. I believe that Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. If you think about a rock, if you got a rock, that rock can slam the devil's head. Your feet ought to be able to crush his head. And that's the thing about the gospel. Psalm 119:105, his word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our pathway. I believe that we need to go back to that word. Psalm 119:133, order my steps in your word. Once we get this word in us, we don't have time for condemnation. We don't have time for an autopsy. All we have time is to live, because Jesus has come to give us life, and that life much more abundantly. Chapter 11, it deals with examine your own self. We ought to examine our own self to see whether we're in the faith. We don't have time to be examining Mary and Mark and Joe and Tom and Tammy, but we ought to be examining ourselves and make sure that we're doing what Jesus did at 12 about his Father's business. Chapter 12, it deals with believe the report. Isaiah said in Isaiah 53, whose report shall we believe? I believe that it's time for us to believe the report of the Lord. I believe that God is calling us to believe this report. His report says we're healed. His report says we're whole. His report says he has come to give us life. It is high time for us to believe the report of the Lord. Jesus is who he says he is. He's not a liar. He's not a man that he can lie. He won't lie. He is who he says he is. So we must believe the report of the Lord, that he is the great physician. He is a great healer. He's a miracle worker. He is our Savior, our Redeemer. He is our Alpha and our Omega. He is our beginning and he is our end. He is our first and he is also our last. So before Adam was, he was wrapped up in the Father's womb, ready to be revealed at the appointed time, 42 generations, according to Matthew chapter 1. It took 42 generations for him to reveal Jesus in the flesh. And the Word became flesh and it dwelt among us. Chapter 13, and this is the final part, and we'll open up for those who may have some questions. He comes to give us life, and he comes to give us more abundantly. Chapter 13 wraps up that we ought to be living the abundant life. There's no reason why we're not living out of the image of God with all the manifestations of the blessings that he wants to give us, all the healing that he has already made available. By his stripes we are healed, and also by the revelation of the Spirit. John was on the Isle of Patmos, and he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a sound saying, behold, I'm Alpha and Omega. God is not concerned about where we've been. He's concerned about where we're going. That's why faith is the substance. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I believe that Adam and Eve, the Bible says that when they sinned or when they ate of the tree, their eyes were open. I believe that's why God said we walk by faith and not by sight. I believe that's a revelation right there. God has always intended for us to hear his voice, to walk by faith and not by what we see. There is no need for an autopsy. I believe this message is going to speak volume to the body of Christ. It is time for us to live until Jesus comes back, and no man knows the hour. But he's called us to have life and have that life much more abundantly. I thank God for this book. I pray that all those who are listening were blessed by the inserts of what I briefly shared with you. It's a great book, along with the other books that I've written. And I don't just write books. These are messages of the kingdom that we have preached. I'm not just writing books to sell books and get wealthy. I want people to have the wisdom, the knowledge, and the faith of God to be able to live and not worry about dying. And that's the message of the kingdom. Amen.
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 Wow. Ooh, you're a powerful speaker.
Yeah, what a powerful message. Yes. Mm.
Are there any questions? Any questions for Pastor Scott?
Mm.
I know he just gave us a mouthful. He is an excellent teacher. I have known him for many years, and he's always, been upright and definitely loves the Lord. He definitely loves the Lord. So I have been blessed by what you have shared, and I want to say that, that you could definitely place one of those books aside for myself and, and Dr. Suzanne. We would definitely like to invest in what you are, calling. You're investing in the kingdom, and that is so important that we continue to read and learn and understand the Word of God. And again, as you said before, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. So it needs to be spread, and you are absolutely right. We're moving away from the Word of God. Amen. So I do thank you for that. Again, all the mics are open if there are any comments. I know I see Pastor from out of Texas and a few other numbers. If you have any questions, the mics are open.
Wow.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I just want to say to the speaker that I appreciate all that knowledge, all that all the insight of the word that you have just given us. I do say that I want that address for that book. I'm a ways away, but I'm sure it can be mailed to me. I just want to say thank you for that. I had to go off for a little while. One of my members had a emergency, and I had to call and check, but I didn't get everything, but I think I got enough.
Amen. Well, man of God, I want you to be encouraged. This book, as soon as I get the deposit in the mail, I mail it out the same day I get the deposit. I believe that once you put that seed in the ground, you're wanting, amen, your harvest. And I believe this book is going to be a great blessing as an extension of knowledge to your ministry and to those who are part and connected to the body of Christ with you. I just believe that this, Dr. John, and Dr. Suzanne, I just believe that God has orchestrated this time for this word, because there's so much death around us. But life has got to be our portion as the body of Christ. And we're trying to reach and gather as many people as we can for this end time harvest. I believe that God is using, you know, you all, and using those who are connected to the teleconference calls and what he's speaking through them. And it's an opportunity, again, to always be a blessing to the body of Christ, to share with you all what the Spirit is saying to the church. And I'm so excited for you all. I'm excited for what God is doing in you all in the educational level. And remember this, you know, the knowledge is important. The people are being destroyed for lack of knowledge, but we can be forever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And I believe Jesus said in John 14:6 that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And that's what we try to pattern our ministry after, is the knowledge of Jesus, the power of Jesus, the demonstration of Jesus, the revelation of Jesus. And I just know that those who are listening, you can order that book. You can send it to Apostle Derek Scott. I'm not just caught up in the title, but, you know, send Derek Scott, P.O. Box 105, Niles, Ohio, 44446. Again, Derek Scott, D-E-R-R-I-C-K, Scott, S-C-O-T-T, P.O. Box 105, Niles, Ohio, Niles, Ohio, 44446 is the mailing address. And you can send a check or money order for $20. That includes the shipping and handling. I send it right back out the same day I receive it. And you should be able to get your book within 2, 3, 4 days, depending on your geographical location.
Amen. You said that's Derek Scott, P.O. Box 105, Niles, Ohio, 44446.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Yes, sir.
All righty, then. We'll be trying to take care of that this week, because I'm interested in your book.
Yes, sir. And there's, again, those other four, Anointed to Say No, Time to Change Your Oil, Church on Life Support, God Brings Dead Things to Life, Spiritually, Physically, and Financially, are the other four. And if you order all five, I give a discount of instead of $100, I give a discount of 80. So you get all five for $80, a $5 savings off of each book.
Okay. All right, man. Do you have a you don't have a website, do you?
A website is going up as we speak. I had one, and I wanted to do a little upgrade on it. So it should be upgraded here pretty soon. I'm working on that as we speak, getting that up and ready.
Good deal. Derek, I don't know whether to call you Apostle Scott. How's that?
Yes, sir.
I do agree with the fact that we are doing too much of everything else in the church except making disciples. Our bishop, Bishop Darrell B. Stearns, he is very adamant about his pastors and presiding elders and so forth and so on, making disciples rather than making, as you said, church members or church goers or pew warmers or whatever you want to call them.
Mm-hmm.
but he is very adamant on that, and that is one of the things that we do try to learn and teach by having discipleship training classes within the body of our churches. So I agree with you about the church being making everything except disciples.
That's right. And once we begin to flow out of that, which Jesus has already patterned the church to flow out of, we'll see the great miracles, not just in the building. We'll see the ministry outside of the building being effectively changed.
Amen.
As it changed not only when Jesus went to Capernaum or whether he was going to Jerusalem. Everywhere he went, he impacted the people for change.
Amen. Amen.
Any more comments? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hear there's a number of who are just listening and probably just digesting this or whatever, everything that has been said. But again, as I say, I have been knowing Apostle Scott, Pastor Scott, for some time, and he has been an upright, man of God, and he loves traveling and going and speaking the words. Their ministry, he and his wife, Prophetess Carol, they are from out of Warren, Ohio, but they have been in the ministry for a number of years. It's been over 20-some-odd years they've been in the ministry with Omega Ministries. He has not just started. He's been around for a long time. And I must say he has had a lot to do with myself as far as moving forward into the ministry, speaking into my life and moving forward into the ministry. And that's why, when you say apostle, an apostle is someone who goes out and plants, and he definitely has planted in my life. And I have moved forward, simply because of when we first met, he more so put me out there and gave me opportunities to get started. And these are years ago. When I don't know if he remembers it or not, but, had a large impact on my life at this time. And I say that, openly and candidly at this time. So, again, he is an excellent teacher, loves the Lord, and, is out trying to spread the word so that the people of God or the kingdom would become more knowledgeable of who God truly is. There's a relationship. It's one thing to say you know someone; it's another to spend time with them. So is a difference. There's a difference. So I thank God for he and I do thank you. For that. Any more comments? I'm hearing we have a short period of time, and I know that the radio blog is going to shut down, but are there any more comments?
I just want to say also, before there might be another comment, my wife, Providence Carol Scott, she's a retired school teacher, so we believe strongly in the educational process like Dr. John and Dr. Suzanne. We believe that God's people need to be empowered by the wisdom and knowledge and faith of God.
Amen. 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 Well, Apostle Scott, would you say a prayer and close us out? And we do thank you for taking the time to come on, just sharing, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge with us. We do thank you for that.
Father, I just thank you for the listeners of this program tonight. Lord God, I ask you to bless them in this 30, 60, and 100-fold season, that we increase in impact, and Lord God, we mobilize the kingdom of God from darkness to light, Father, that every fivefold ministry gift that is listened, Father, that you would empower them, Lord God, in this new year, in this new season that we're going forth in. For Lord God, we know, Lord God, that a harvest is plentiful, but the labors are few. So we pray for the harvest as well as the labors. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We do thank you once again for tuning in. We invite you back next week at 7 o'clock. Remember, every week we will be in this. Good luck.
I face the dawn.